You are listening to the Applied Research Podcast Series, featuring interviews with authors exploring key research topics by VONET, the National Online Resource Center on Violence Against Women, in partnership with the National Sexual Violence Resource Center and the Minnesota Center Against Violence and Abuse.
Welcome to VONET Applied Research Podcast. It's December 2011, and I'm Sheetal Rana, a graduate assistant here at Minnesota Center Against Violence and Abuse, School of Social Work, University of Minnesota. In this podcast, we will be talking to Dr. Cynthia Sanders, author of the VONET Applied Research paper, Asset Building for Domestic Violence Survivors. Dr. Sanders is an associate professor at Boise State University School of Social Work and a faculty associate at the Center for Social Development at Washington University in St. Louis. Dr. Sanders has completed and published work on the topics of microenterprise, home ownership, wealth accumulation, financial literacy, and domestic violence. Her current research examines the role of economic factors in domestic violence and initiatives to promote economic development, including individual development accounts among low-income women impacted by intimate partner violence. Dr. Sanders, welcome to this podcast.
Thank you.
Let's start by talking about asset building. What is asset building?
Asset building is an approach to promoting economic well-being and poverty reduction that has developed over the last about 20 years with regard to targeting low-income groups that goes beyond income and consumption to think about long-term economic development or an investment approach to promoting opportunity structures to help people build savings, develop or run a microenterprise, purchase a home, or acquire post-secondary or career-enhancing education. And a major piece of that work has been in the area of individual development accounts, or IDAs, which are matched savings accounts that allow low-income people to save over the course of a couple years and receive generally a 2-to-1 match that they can then use that money for these purposes that I spoke of in terms of small business development, purchasing a home, getting an education, that kind of thing.
Why is asset building important for domestic violence survivors?
Yeah, it's important for survivors for a number of reasons. First of all, we know that women are largely the victims of domestic violence or survivors of domestic violence, and that women and low-income women in particular are often financially dependent on an abusive partner. Abusive partner may also be economically abusive in terms of isolating women from financial resources, not having women's names on household assets or bank accounts, damaging women's credit, building up debt, all kinds of things that affect a survivor's economic well-being and their ability to leave an abusive partner and after leaving to become economically dependent if they choose to do so. So while we have interventions and programs and services that help women in sort of the short term and in crisis mode have access to things like basic cash assistance or food stamps or short-term housing, we've not really had as many approaches to thinking about investing in economic stability in the long term. So the idea of asset building and thinking about long-term financial stability through asset building is an important one for survivors in order for them to remain financially dependent from abusive partners. And the other reason is that we know that poverty plays a role in domestic violence. So this approach to a longer-term approach and investment approach to trying to reduce poverty and sustain financial security is an important one. The other reason they're important for survivors in particular is we know that there are positive outcomes associated with asset building and IDA programs, both economic benefits as well as psychosocial outcomes that are important. So some of those psychosocial outcomes that are important that we know are associated with IDAs and assets are things like greater future orientation, and for women in particular, things like economic empowerment, financial self-efficacy, improving self-esteem, and given the negative psychological impacts of domestic violence, these are encouraging psychosocial outcomes that are associated with asset building that would be particularly important for domestic violence survivors.
So Can you tell us briefly about asset building programs for domestic violence survivors?
Yeah, more recently, domestic violence advocates have recognized the role that economic and financial matters play in domestic violence. There's been an increase in their efforts to make economic issues a primary component of domestic violence interventions. So there have been programs emerging to incorporate asset building specifically for domestic violence survivors. So there are unique features to these programs that broadly asset building programs may not include. And one piece of that would be making sure that you recognize the safety issues associated with working with women around money issues and asset building. Programs are often combined with a economic education program, and they're often combined with an IDA program, and then also what many in the field are calling economic advocacy, working with women one-on-one following the education and working with them while they're in the IDA program.
For your applied research paper, you did a review of research on asset building for domestic violence survivors. What key themes emerged from your review of research?
Well, I think the first thing that emerges is that we have very limited research to date with regards to asset building, specifically in working with domestic violence survivors. So there's a need for more research and more rigorous research. But we do know from the limited research that has been done to date that the findings are promising. And some of the research that I've done specifically in looking at an IDA program in the St. Louis region, we see both positive psychosocial outcomes in terms of the kinds of things I spoke about earlier with women reporting a greater sense of economic empowerment, a future orientation, teaching their children lessons about money, having more hope about their financial circumstances, having more autonomy, and also using the skills related to the education class in combination with the savings program to adhere more to things like a budget, paying attention to how they're spending money, incorporating the savings component to their budget, that kind of thing. And then the IDA program specifically that I studied looked at 125 women who participated in an IDA program designed specifically with survivors in mind. And about two-thirds of those women were successful in completing the program, reaching their savings goal, and on average saving about $1,000 during the time of the program with an additional $2,000 in match savings for an average amount of IDA savings of about $3,000 that then they were able to use for asset purchases. Not all women were successful. Some women, you know, given their circumstances, both with regard to domestic violence and poverty, were not able to save successfully in the program. But many were, and many were able to use that money. Those would be the findings from the research specifically that I have done, and I think this is an emerging area, and we'll see more research in this area over the long haul. What we don't know from the research to date, because to date much of it has been exploratory, descriptive in nature, is over the long term, what happens with regard to these asset building and economic education programs over the long term with regard to how it intersects with safety and domestic violence outcomes. So that's where we're really going to need to focus some good rigorous research in the future over a longer period of time to see how does this ultimately affect women's safety and experiences of domestic violence.
What have you found in terms of promising approaches to asset building for domestic violence survivors?
Well, I think probably the first program to establish a IDA program specifically for survivors is the REAP program, R-E-A-P, which is out of Redevelopment Opportunities for Women in the St. Louis region, which is the program I've studied. And they have a program that incorporates economic education curriculum, the IDA component, and then working one-on-one with women through economic advocacy over a longer period of time. There are other programs that are emerging around the country. I know Kentucky is doing some work with IDAs and survivors. The Allstate Foundation has funded some work around economic literacy, and I think are incorporating an IDA program into that as well at this time or in the near future. So REAP, I think, would probably be the most established IDA program for survivors at this time.
You mentioned REAP's economic education curriculum. Are there any other curriculum or training manuals on asset building that advocates can use?
Well, there certainly are in terms of economic education curriculum, and again, REAP is one of those, but they also include information on their IDA program, and they are available to provide technical support and training nationally through what they call the REAP Training Institute, and information on their program and the institute and the written materials they have available can be found at their website. I also know the Allstate Foundation has some written materials for their economic education program.
Mm-hmm. So what are the implications of findings from these limited research for policy programs and practice?
From a policy perspective, that there has been a lot of policy support at federal and state levels for community-based initiatives around asset building, mm-hmm. but not necessarily specifically for survivors. So I think there are policy initiatives that could incorporate a focus specifically for survivors, such as the Assets for Independence Act and the Violence Against Women policy and resources in a way that incorporates a little more flexibility to meet the needs of women in oftentimes very volatile and sensitive situations so that this can be done in a safe way. For example, having flexibility around what potentially women can save for, such as a vehicle, which is not a provision at this time in the Assets for Independence Act. In terms of programs and practice, I think that this is an emerging area, and I would certainly encourage programs to think about and acknowledge the role that financial issues and poverty plays in domestic violence, and to find ways to incorporate financial issues and asset building to be a sort of more central piece in working with women over the long term. There are challenges to doing that. I think it's important that programs think through some of those challenges that they'll need to work through as they incorporate things like asset building, such as, the need to raise matching funds, the need to have sufficient staff to support women in asset building programs, including the one-on-one advocacy work, thinking about, the context of non-residential versus shelter settings, and at what point in time might women be most ready for this kind of program in terms of being successful, those kinds of things. And then in terms of practice, I also think that recognizing that economic abuse is a dimension of domestic violence, and including that in assessment processes and intervention processes so that we're addressing all dimensions of domestic violence. Of course, women's physical safety always takes priority, but I think if you look at the research, that the other dimensions, sexual, physical, emotional, verbal abuse, have received a lot of attention in the domestic violence field and in intervention literature, but that the economic abuse dimension has received less attention. So I would encourage practitioners to make sure they're including that as a dimension that they're assessing and addressing.
Thank you so much for talking to us, Dr. Sanders.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure.
And thank you for listening to this podcast.
Applied research papers and podcasts in this audio series can be found at www.vawnet.org. VAWNET is a project of the National Resource Center on Domestic Violence, supported by a cooperative agreement with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Music by Beulah.